Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
caca.
What? Hi, this is... Oh, sorry.
Hello.
You already
hello.
Said that, girl.
Bitch, I don't know where I am.
Despierta, cabrón. Que show.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the weather, believe it or not.
Are you really?
Yes, like... It's like 30 degrees, yendo en mi bicicleta, como Pedrito Fernandez in that movie with Lucerito, which I'm sure you haven't seen, but... You know, just living my life, eating good food.
Of course, I've seen that movie. It's a classic. It's iconic. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So it's all good. How are you? You're still in Colorado, no?
I am. I'm in Breckenridge, Colorado still. I'm here for one more week. And I thought I was leaving on Friday, but I'm here through the weekend. So if anybody from Denver wants to come up and visit, I'm here till the 18th of November, so come and enjoy the snow with me. Sancha and Rudy Blue were here this past week, and that was really fun hanging out with those Mexas in the snow.
Mexas.
It was real cute.
Mexas in the snow. Love it. Oh yeah, so wait, Sancha perform in your gallery? Like, ¿qué pasó? Cuéntame.
Yeah, so Sancha, it was really cool. The curator here, shout out to Nicole, she asked me if I had any musician friends I would want to play in my installation. And she asked me actually right like around the time when we interviewed Sancha, and I was like, well, actually, I do know somebody.
Funny that you ask.
Yeah, so it was like a cool little showcase. So I took over this old Masonic Hall building.
Damn.
And I made this ofrenda, like Dia de Muertos ofrenda. And so this band from Denver called Vic and the Narwhals, they're contrary to what the name of the band sounds like, they're actually all humans, and they're all Latinx. I think they're Mexican-American artists.
Oh, sweet.
They're like this kind of like punk... or like rock band based out of Denver. And then DJ Rudy Blue Garcia was on the ones and twos, as the cool people say. And he did a DJ set before and after Sancha. And then Sancha performed, and she really blew me away. I've seen her perform before, but this time was super special. It was like she was singing... serenading me the whole time, which she kind of was.
Plus also I bet she was singing songs from like her newish album, which you haven't heard before live.
Yeah, and it was because it was the Dia de Muertos theme. She did sing like a Selena cover, a Juana Juanga cover, you know, just to like in honor of the Dia de Muertos. And also I think it's because it's like the first time I've seen her perform at a venue sober. Like, I've been sober watching her.
So you actually paid attention?
So I actually remember and, like, took it all in. Because I've seen her perform so many times, but I've been, like, baby blacked out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
browned
yeah.
out. So I'm so happy that I'm not drinking. Because I get to experience life to the fullest.
That's so... Wait. So you had these Mexicanos come and visit you. Like, what do you feed them? Like, where do you guys go eat?
I don't know them.
I don't know their life.
Oh, you mean Sancha and Rudy?
Yeah.
Bitch, we eat where... In Breckenridge, you eat where you can.
Right.
Like, there's not a lot of options. So the first day they came... There's like this little Italian restaurant by my house, so we went there, and it was not bad. And then I'm like, girl, we better go to the grocery store for you guys, and they went and picked up some snacks just in case. But it's a lot, you know, it's a ski town, so there's not a lot of competition, because like it's like you got to eat where there's food. So the food isn't that
great. It sounds
great.
Like the Hunger Games.
It's just a lot of pub food, and it's like there's only so many like... Cobb salads and burgers and pizzas and flatbreads that you can eat before you're like, okay. Luckily, I feel like Sancha and Rudy were in like vacation mode. So they're like, yeah, let's get burgers and a side of fries with ranch. And I was like, my people. It was awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I've been cooking.
How about you? What have you been eating?
I've been cooking a lot, girl. And I finally made my favorite stew, which is caldo de res. That's like my jam. It's oof.
Okay,
oof.
Bitch. Let's get into it. A ver, how do you make it?
Because I live in Pilsen, I just went to the store and everything was prepackaged. So what I do is that compras la carne para el caldo de res. I don't know what it is, but it has like big ass fucking bones. So you have to boil it. So you boil the carne con ajo y con cebolla y con sal. You boil it for like 2 hours just so you can get all the flavors from the bone, right? And then after that, it's easy. You blend you blend tomate, cebolla y ajo and a little like with water, and then you add it to the stew, and then you add the vegetables, and then you let the vegetables cook for a little bit, like maybe 10-15 minutes, and all the flavors come together. And the vegetables, I mean, maíz, ¿cómo se llama? Elote, calabaza, papa, zanahoria, repollo, rechicken. Y luego, the secret ingredient, everybody paid attention, because this is what makes my fucking caldo de res, que mi mamá me enseñó, better than your caldo de res. But wait.
Have you had my mom's caldo de res?
I always forget that Guatemalans are so extra and they make everything so much better. But anyway.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. No, I admit it. So you grab a pinch of hierbabuena. Y se lo deshaces en el caldo. Pero easy, because the first time I did it, I was grabbing like puños de hierbabuena. That shit tasted like rotten tea. So you just have to add a little bit of hierbabuena, and it goes from good to magical. So
it elevates it.
It was so good. I made it, and I told my boo, I was like, we have food for a week. Bitch, we got high and we ate it in one night. It was wonderful.
Oh my gosh. You know, I miss that. Like, my mom used to make caldo pretty much every week.
Yeah.
So it would last for dinner like 3 nights of the week.
Right.
And it's like, I hated it when I was a kid because I was like, what are we eating this week? Caldo de res, caldo de pollo, And I'm just, and now I go to my mom's house. I'm like, Mom, can you make caldo de res? And she's like, no. All those years you didn't want me to make it. Now you want it. Fuck you. I'm like, okay. She doesn't use those words. She's a Christian, but she implies those words.
Yeah.
So anyway, oh my gosh, that's so great. I've been cooking in my little house here too, just because I don't want to go out in the snow.
I also want to tell you about my weekend because, I mean, it was crazy, but first, last weekend, we went to see Maddie, but I presented. I was a couple of days in
Denver.
Who's
Maddie?
Maddie was in some of our episodes. She's one of my best friends. She lives in Denver. She's my best friend, basically. And we stayed with her. I stayed a couple of days in a hotel. I presented in like this very prestigious colonial symposium. I was freaking out, dude. I was shaking. I couldn't sleep the night before. It was crazy. I presented. It was basically my hate letter to the Franciscans. And I did it in public. And I thought I was going to get some resistance. Bitch, it went so, so good. And it's going to get published. So I'm fucking so excited.
Awesome. Congrats.
Yeah, I'm very happy. So we went there, and then this past weekend, my boo and I went to go see Lila Downs. Bitch. Esa mujer es como la nueva Frida, man.
Yeah, you never seen her before?
I mean, I have, but like every time I see her, there's a little bit more of criticalness in me. And I went to see her, and like she's using like footage from like Russian filmmakers that came to Mexico to exoticize Mexicans, and I don't know, man. Like, even though I still love the music, I still love her voice, and I still fucking enjoyed it, like, all the iconography of the concert was just, like, the problematic, como dice Luisito. Like, it was super problematic. And I don't know, like, I enjoyed it, but at the same time, in the back of my head, was like, ugh, come on. But, I mean, Frida will be Frida, and Lila will be Lila, you know? So, like, We just got drunk and enjoyed the concert.
Well, better Lila Downs than John Leguizamo being Frida. So
bitch, can we talk about that?
I don't want to spend too
mess?
Much time talking about that trash I just saw on Netflix. Yeah, let's talk about it. Did you see it?
I went to see John Leguizamo like, I don't know, like 12, 13 years ago.
Okay.
Because there was a period where we went to go see all the comedians in Vegas, especially the women comedians, like Rita Rudner, Roseanne, like all of them.
Icon.
Yes, Rita Rudner.
I love Rita. Rita Rudner is one of the most underrated fucking comedians.
And she's funny.
She's a fucking icon.
Yes.
Google that white lady, locas.
So we will see all of them. And I remember like, oh, John Leguizamo, a Latino. I want to go see him, you know. All I remember from that performance is just how uncomfortable I felt. It was super straight. There was just nothing but bros. And I was just like, I remember like lefting all disappointed. I haven't thought about him since then, right? And then I started getting these messages from listeners like, oh my God, he talks about the colonial period. And I was like, fuck, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt one last fucking time. And yeah, his bit, when he makes fun of the Spanish and everything, it's funny. But then he drops the N word. And then one of the things that fucking bothered me also was there was a part where he's describing the conquest of Mexico and how Moctezuma was this stupid guy, which is like so old school history, right? And in order for him to portray Moctezuma as the stupid guy who allowed the Spanish to conquer him, that's not what happened, you know? We don't really know what happened. He plays Moctezuma as a gay guy. So like this passive gay guy who allowed to be fucked by the Spanish, basically. I was fucking enraged because I was like, okay, so you're doing this fucking stand up because all of a sudden you're woke and you want to teach us, but this is how you're doing it, bitch, with your still old school racist and homophobe shit. Like, get the fuck out. I fucking hated it.
Literally, dude, I made it like 8 minutes in. He dropped the N word. And not even in like a, because he was acting as if he was like
younger,
a little kid version of himself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's gonna address how stupid he was for using the N word when he was a kid, and he didn't address it. And then I was texting you while I was watching it, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. And then I turned it off. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm not gonna be like that. I'm gonna give it another shot. And then I turned it back on and watched it for not even two more minutes, bitch. And he was making fun of his deaf uncle.
Oh, you know, like, cuando le hacía como gangoso. Ay, es un pendejo.
Yeah,
wey.
I'm like, what is this? So, and then he started making fun of like East Asian accents and like Indian, or he was talking about Indians, like not, like using like jokes that we were using in elementary school, like dot Indian or feather Indian. Like, who the fuck are you? Shut the fuck up. And I knew it from jump when I saw the title of it, like the Latin History for Morons or whatever. What is it called?
Yeah.
I don't even
something
know.
Something like that, yeah.
And I'm like, Latin, like, is this the history of the language or is this Latin American history?
Right.
Latino, like the words aren't even correct in the title of the show. That already set me off. I knew it. I knew it was going to be some homophobic, racist bullshit as soon as I saw it. And you know what?
What?
What's really embarrassing is like the people raving about it online.
Yes!
It's a great test to see whoever likes this thing, you're not my friend. Sorry. I'm sorry.
True.
And okay, call me elitist. I don't give a fuck. But literally in the first 10 minutes, it was racist and it was ableist and it was problematic in so many ways that I couldn't keep watching it. Like, come on.
It's in. Yeah, I don't want to say anything else. Like, it's just like,
you know what really sucks? Now I'm mad. You know what really sucks?
Go for it.
Is that Netflix is promoting the shit out of this.
That's
you know?
What like, I was going to say, yes.
Like, it comes up on the big title. And also, isn't he Colombiano? And he's, like, dressed as Frida and dressed as, like, a mariachi and shit. Like, fuck you. I know there's mariachis in Colombia, whatever, guara guara la cuchara. But, like, I don't understand why they're putting so much money towards this. I remember when Cristela Alonso's stand-up came out. They never put it up on the big part, you know,
not
on the top of the Netflix. They never promoted it. And yeah, Cristela does say a couple things here and there that might be a little problematic, but she's fucking brilliant. I love her.
She's amazing.
And then what else? When One Day at a Time came out, I'm like, where was the promo for One Day at a Time season 2?
I had to find it. Yes.
But this fucking white Latino, John Leguizamo, who everybody gives a pass because he was in Tu Wong Fu as Chi-Chi, like that, yes, that was a brilliant role. Congratulations, bitch. That doesn't mean you can't be homophobic right. and problematic. Like, ugh, it was bad.
And he begs the question once again. But, like, how many fucking people saw this and read this before it actually went through? Like, a nadie se le ocurrió decir, oye, güey, no mames. Like, this shit is stupid. Like, let's change this or let's cut this. Nobody. And the sad part is that, like, he actually recommended some amazing books. Like, The Open Veins of Latin America is an incredible fucking book. But because of your fucking homophobia y racismo and fucking your age and your stupidity, all that shit gets erased. Like, I bet that, like, you don't, like, I don't remember some of the books, even though when I was watching it, I'm like, oh, wow, that is a fucking real book. But it's too sad that from everything you supposedly read, which I'm sure you didn't finish any of those fucking books, all you got was this, just old school stereotypical fucking comedia, güey. A la verga, güey. It was so, so fucking gross.
It's bad. And maybe he did, he probably did read all those books. I know he's been doing that show for years on Broadway, and people have been loving it on Broadway, or it's like a one-man show he does. So
yeah,
maybe he did read those books, and that's great and all, but
well, he needs,
like,
to read
them
again.
You couldn't have called your homie Lin-Manuel and been like, hey, what do you think about this, you know? Like,
And Lin-Manuel will be like, I'm too busy making fucking music about Polynesia or some shit like that.
He's too busy having birthday parties for his son at the Sugar Hill Children's Museum of Art and Storytelling. In front of my artwork, bitch. I just saw it on Twitter right now.
No mames, güey.
Anyway, I take back everything mean I said about Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Te amamos,
awesome.
Lin, te amamos.
Te amo.
So funny.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and another thing, it was like pena ajena because, you know, it's theater, and sometimes right. theater is hard for me to consume, digest,
is
whatever
this,
you want to say.
Is this along your hatred of performing art?
Yeah.
Performance
art. And I don't know. I mean, I saw Dorian Wood when I was in New York, and it was breathtaking, and I love the performance.
But
so
that's art. That's fucking art. Like, he's fucking art, period, you know?
That was beautiful. So I'm like, it's not that it was a one-man show. Because I was like, I had a rule before I saw Dorian Wood. I was like, if it's not a drag queen or if it's not an old lady, I don't want to see a one-man show or a one-woman show, because those are the only ones I can stand. But shoot, it just... Pura pena ajena, and then just like, just bad. And I promised myself that I would not hate watch something just to do it. I think that's so unhealthy to hate watch stuff.
Girl, that's my favorite thing. And I know it's unhealthy, but I can help it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very on brand for you, bitch.
It is very on brand for me. So,
okay.
So speaking of the La Historia de los Latinos, can you tell everybody what are we doing right now? Because I am
Okay. Okay. So today we're going to do a really fun episode. I hope it's going to be fun. And we're going to do it. It's based on an episode of another show that I really love. I've mentioned it a long time ago on this podcast, but I listened to this podcast called Jaden XD. And I've been listening to it for years from before it was Jaden XD. It was called Two Guys and a Girl or something. So they did this episode back in June called The ABCs of Negrotude, because mm-hmm. they're both black. And if you don't know that show, they call it the blackest show about nothing. They're like obsessed with Scientology, just like I am. They love doing these shows where they like make playlists, and then, you know, they talk about pop culture a little, but they're just, I love them. Jade, she also has a podcast, Getting Grown, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But she's called La... She's my favorita problemática, and XD, a.k.a. Homo La Flor, as he goes by.
Damn, so love them.
They're amazing. They're amazing. Anyway, so we thought we would do the ABCs of Latinidad here on Latinos Who Lunch. So we're just going to go through the alphabet, and it's just word association. A through Z, including ch and enye.
La ch la enye. A huevo way, you have to.
That, thank you for reminding me because I forgot about that. And it's just, and we're just gonna, we're gonna say the word and maybe say some, a few sentences about each thing. So I'm gonna let you go first.
Because I feel like we're gonna have the same, a lot of the same words.
No, we won't, girl.
Espérate. So I feel like we should say it at the same time.
No, no, no. You go first. And then
okay.
I'll go second.
So A, I couldn't find anything, so I put anti-blackness because I had just finished fucking watching John Leguizamo.
Anti-blackness. Wow. Right off, right onto a good note. Good.
I mean, like, I kept watching that and I was like, fuck, like, this is a symptom of our community. Like,
that's true.
It's like we keep denying, like, their place in, like, Black Latinos, their place in history. Do you know that the first fucking revolution in this fucking continent started in Veracruz by ex-slaves? Like nobody mm-hmm. talks about that. So the first revolution of the continent organized by African people. And do we talk about it? No. So it's like, it's denied in our history. It's denied in our culture. And there needs to be more visibility for them and their history. So yeah, I'm going to go with it. Aid anti-blackness. ¿Y tú cuál?
Yep. Amen to that. That's true. I mean, Black people, especially in this country, in the United States, are on the front line, specifically Black women. They're always showing up and fighting for civil rights. And then Latinos always take a back seat, specifically white Latinos. And I mean, look at the results of the last election. So many Latinos, specifically in Texas, voted Republican. It was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane.
I mean, I'm not surprised, pero ya te la sabes.
Yeah. So my A mm-hmm. is for a hax. Okay? Because.
Estúpida mi fucking peluca, güey.
If you don't know what a hax is, then I don't know if you're Latino, okay? A lot of people like to talk about. I'm going there, girl. I'm talking about the serious shit, okay?
Okay.
Calm down. A lot of people like to talk about Fabuloso because it's in this pretty purple bottle, but no, bitch, the OG is Ajax, okay? If you need something clean, you grab the wire brush and you Ajax the shit out of that, okay?
So, and by the time you finish cleaning, not everything is going to be fucking sparkly clean. You're going to be high as a kite.
Everything smells like bleach, and that's how you know it's clean. Oh my gosh. I have a story. Maybe I'll save it for another day.
No,
about
tell
a
me because I have another hack story. Mine is really, really short.
Okay. So I'm not going to say this person's name, but if you know me, you know who this person is. I've had a Mexican roommate, and when we first moved in together, to me, it's. There's rules. I thought everybody knew the rules of the kitchen, right?
Yeah, you don't open fridges.
You didn't know that one. I can't believe that. Or it slipped your mind. I don't know. But a lot of Latino households have a very specific pan that they call, that I call the egg pan, right? It's either cast iron or it's just like a regular sartén, you know? And
you don't Mexicans wash it.
Yes, most Mexicans don't use their oven either or their dishwasher. So the dishwasher is a drying rack and the oven is for storage, okay? So you cook your eggs, tus huevos en la mañana, and then you just...
Con bologna.
Stop. And then you take... Both of my grandmas did this. They would just take a paper towel, wipe out the egg or whatever grease was left, and then you just put the pan in the oven. So that's what I did at my house. One day I get up and I look at my egg pan and it's sitting washed in the dryer in the dish rack, and I was like, yo, who the fuck washed my egg pan? There was seriously 6 years of seasoning on that fucking pan. And then I go to it and it has like white, you know, like cloudy white everywhere. And I was like, no, this bitch didn't. She washed that shit with a hox, girl. The years, the blood, sweat, and tears of seasoning for my egg pan gone in the matter of minutes.
I fucking know who that is.
That's the power That's the power of a hoax. I didn't talk to my roommate for 2 weeks after that, but we're best friends now. No worries, everybody. Everything's okay.
It's all right. So my mom one day told me, he goes, fíjate, un compañero del trabajo de tu papá, ¿tú crees? Le puso a su hijo a hoax. And then she starts laughing. Ha, 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 ha.
A hoax where?
And I was like, Mom, that's a god Greek, like a Greek god. That's why he named his son Hux.
Oh, as a name.
Yes. But she only knew the relationship between a Hux and the fucking cleaning product. So she thought it was the most ridiculous thing that somebody named her kid, their kid fucking a Hux. It was so funny. That's the end.
Okay. All right. Okay. Next letter. Letter B.
Barroquismo.
Okay. Get into it, girl. That's very Latinx.
Right. Yeah. Anything like, as they call it, like, horror vacui, or just not leaving any space when it comes to decorations and churches. And you go to a Mexican store and you see like fucking decoraciones everywhere. Like this obsession with just filling every single space with something, and your eye goes from the light to their left. That's the idea behind the Baroque, that your eye is never resting, and as a consequence, you're overwhelmed, and then you start believing in whatever they present you. So like, as Latinos, we're fucking barroquistas so much. So B is barroquismo for me.
B is botanas for me.
A huevo.
Mexicans, a huevo. They love botanas. They love their fucking snacks, dude.
And like, I remember when I first moved to this country that I started going to other types of restaurant. I'm like, ¿dónde están las tostadas? Like, every time you go to a Mexican restaurant or Latino restaurant, they always give you like a botana to start with, you know? But when it comes to like other foods, it's just like, you have to wait for the entree to come in. We're all about fucking botanas. And in Juarez, a typical botana, which is common, is weenies con fucking salsa Valentina.
That shit is good.
Okay, next.
C.
Letter C.
Castas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn, bitch, you're getting historical on all your shit.
I mean,
okay, like the caste system, like casta paintings?
Yeah, like casta, like, yeah, like the there's over 200 different castas, and if you had a drop of black blood, you could never basically go back into have a good caste. And it's very, very complicated. We have a whole entire episode dedicated to the casta system, so you should check it out. But the casta system, especially if you watch Made in Mexico, you know that it's fucking alive and it's gross. Racism is real in Latin America, people. Don't be fucking blind. It took a show.
Yes. And the episode is called Colorismo in America, if you haven't heard it before.
Right.
My C is for cacahuates.
Bitch, you could...
Bitch, we love our cacahuates.
We do.
This cross cultural, girl.
It's, I mean, you can no puedes pistear sin cacahuates con chile, man.
Duh.
Okay.
Duh.
See, like when I was putting this list together, I'm like, I cannot just put fucking food. And as funny as I'm gonna try to be, fucking Fabi's gonna bring something funnier. So that's why I'm getting all historical. But anyway.
No, girl, it's supposed to be just like the first thing that comes to your head. Like I didn't think about this.
I think about it a little bit, but yes. Okay. Con la che.
I can tell. never mind. Yeah, che. What's the che?
Chingaderas.
Bitch. Oh, taking a sip of coffee. You made me spit on my mic. Damn, chingaderas for sure.
I mean... chingaderas can be everything. Like, una chingadera is like this little insignificant thing. Que chingaderas can be like this great fucking thing. O mamadas, you know, like whatever. So we're all about chingaderas. So that's it.
Mine is chamacos.
Ah, that's good. Is chamaco normal in just like northern Mexico? No, it's plebes. Just, northern Mexico is plebes.
We say plebes in northern Mexico, but chamaco is like, yeah, southern or central Mexico. Guatemalans have the best word for kids. It's ichocos.
Ichocos?
Yes, it's so great. Y choco, hijo de puta. My family's so vulgar. Guatemalans are... I'm going to generalize here, but the way that Guatemalans speak is so vulgar, and I fucking love it. Oh, my gosh. And Salvadorians say cipote for chamaco.
Damn, that sounds severe.
Yeah.
Okay.
D.
Dictaduras.
What the fuck, bitch? What is that?
Because I just keep thinking, because again, John Leguizamo, I keep thinking like Latin America has like all these fucked up oppressive governments, and it's all because of like the relationship
between dictatorships.
Yes.
That's what that means.
I couldn't think of anything. I was like fucking depressed after fucking watching this stupid ass man.
That's pretty spot on, bro.
Yeah, like I mean yeah. So yeah, like I keep thinking about South America and like Mexico. It's just like we are always reigned by this fucking corruptos dictadores que se creen soldados de pinche Dios, man. And it's just like so common and it's still a thing. Things are changing, but very, very slow. So yes, dictaduras. ¿Y tú?
My D is for dominoes.
Ah,
I love.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen people play dominoes in a bar. I think it must have been in Mexico City because that's very common over there.
My family's always playing dominoes.
Really?
And it was really cool when I went to Miami. That was like the one thing that I loved about it is like everybody on Calle Ocho. You know, there's that whole plaza where they play dominoes, but it's like it's a common thing there. And then I even went to the art museum, and there was a huge art exhibition at the Perez Art Museum about dominoes. So
is it mostly like a men thing?
Yeah, you know, most things are in this world because of, you know, the patriarchy. But I used to play them with my grandpa all the time.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, my grandma, I don't think my grandma ever played. I remember when I was little, she would play with me, but only she bought this set of dominoes that was Sesame Street dominoes. So that's what I used to play with when I was little. But she never played like the adult dominoes with me, which I think is very interesting. So let's see, when we get to the P, patriarchy will be there for sure.
Okay.
A, E.
Esquites.
Yes, bitch! Explain what that is.
So esquite, I mean, in Mexico, we just know as elotes, right? But esquites is like the elote, but just el puro grano. And depending where you
are,
it's different.
Cut off the cob.
Huh?
Cut off the cob in a cup,
yes,
right?
Yes. Entonces, pero le ponen mayonesa, le ponen queso fresco, le ponen chile, le ponen limón, le ponen mantequilla. Oh, my God. Remember those esquites from Puebla, dude?
Remember the ones where they put them in, they cut a bag of Doritos open and they just put the esquites on top of them?
Didn't Christy had those when we were there?
Bitch, I went back there 3 times that weekend. I didn't give a fuck. It was so good.
So, so good. Okay.
My E is for elote.
It's like the same thing. ¿Qué más? I mean.
A huevo. That should have been your A.
That should have been age. God damn it. Okay.
Okay. F.
F for flores. I remember. Ay, me. Yes.
Qué romántica.
You know what I was thinking? It's because we were reading this thing about the guild system, the groups that were organized to paint in the 17th and 18th century. And indigenous artists were not allowed to paint religious images. And one of the few things that indigenous artists were allowed to paint were flowers. Because there was this idea that indigenous people belong to the land. So the relationship between colors and flowers was always tied to indigeneity. So when I think of flores, because of that whole fucking fucked up thing, and like think about Juan Diego letting the fucking flores fall into the ground, and then you see the image of the Virgen de Guadalupe, like flowers is always like a signifier for good or for bad of indigeneity in the Americas.
True. You know, I did this exhibition here in Breckenridge about Dia de Muertos, and my favorite thing was making the flowers.
Yeah.
I made these big bouquets, and I've never made bouquets before. And I got to do after doing it, I'm like, I need to do an installation where it's just bouquets of flowers. Like, it was so sad. Now I get it. Like, florists, like, it's so fun to put together the bouquets of flowers. And I made them all out of paper, like roses, carnations, cempasúchil, and a couple other different varieties. And I made these like big, beautiful bouquets. It was really fun.
And I noticed that you made them on estípite columns that you probably took from the altars from Huacachula, right?
Yes, girl. Oh, good eye. Look at you.
Deconstructed your iconography through Instagram. Look at me. Anyway.
Wow. My F is for football. Duh.
The opium of the people. Hello.
Okay.
I like how that's all we have to say about sports. And
girl, I don't know anything other than that Ronaldo guy. Remember Maradona back in the day? He was great.
Pelé, güey, Pelé.
Pele. Yes. Who else? I don't know.
Hugo Sanchez.
Oh, Brazil. They're great. Okay, next.
Okay. Guadalupe con la G.
G for Guadalupe. Yes. La Virgen de Guadalupe. Amen. Aleluya.
The most important painting ever created in this fucking, in the Americas, I think. ¿Y tú?
Yes. We're gonna do a whole episode coming up on La Virgen de Guadalupe for everyone.
I can't wait.
Mine is G for Gualmar.
Vamos a la Gualmar. ¿Qué tonto eres?
Bitch, you know we love our Gualmar.
Yes, we do.
And my family's even a Sam's Club member, so you know, they support that corporation 100%.
I mean, that's where your t-shirt came from, no?
The original skeleton shirt that I wear came from Walmart. You know, that has actually a really long story. I'm gonna do it in a nutshell here, yeah. But you know, all these years my family went to Walmart. They used to go to La Kmart también, but Walmart was the A number one. The Walmart in Spring Valley in Las Vegas, right on Rainbow and Spring Mountain. Y'all know where that is. It's like Koreatown now, which is pretty awesome. But my family went there for years. And then like 5 or 6 years ago, I was asked to be in a show at Crystal Bridges Museum of Art in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. I'm sorry. And it's where I did one of my first... excuse me. One of my big family fiesta performances. And they flew out, like, all of my family. And we went to the original Walmart, like, the flagship Walmart. And that's all my family wanted to do. And it was, like, full circle. Like, all of those years of my family spending thousands of dollars at Walmart. And then Walmart, who Alice Walton, the heiress of Walmart, right, opened Crystal Bridges Museum, and then they gave me thousands of dollars to bring my family out. I was like, finally, Walmart is giving back to the people.
Exactly. Fuck.
And then my uncles got really mad because they stopped selling beer after 9 p.m. at Walmart in Arkansas because of the fucking Christians there.
Didn't you
And so we had to drive all the way to Missouri to buy beer.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do, man. You're not gonna put together like a bunch of Guatemalans and Mexicans and not have beer. You have to travel to another state. You travel to another state.
I know. Damn, A should have been for alcoholism, girl. We fucked up.
Real.
Okay. Yeah, and that's where I bought my first skeleton shirt. And I would just wear it occasionally. And then I noticed, like, oh, I'm wearing this shirt at all my art openings. And then it just became a thing after that.
It became your thing.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, H.
H is for hierbas.
Oh, y la hierba get into that santería, brujería, bitch.
Exactly. Like alternative epistemologies, you know? Like, enough with, like, Western medicine. Listen to your mother first. Like, seriously, I went to the doctor porque me volví a enfermar como siempre, and they gave me all this medicine. No me hizo nada, güey. Pero me hacía mis tés del fucking con hierbabuena, con ajo, con jengibre y santo remedio, como dice mi madre.
Aleluya. Amen. Amen. My H, speaking of alternative epistemology.
Huesos.
Herbalife.
That is my H.
Specifically, El Shake the Cookies is my fave.
Bitch. I like how you can get to, like, different levels. Yo soy vendedora diamante. Vendedora platino, yes. Oh my god, Herbalife is like the Avon for Latinos.
Here's a secret one.
Dime.
If you mix my actual favorite, it's kind of gross, but I love mixing the piña with the cookies. It's actually a good combination.
I gotta try those. Is there like a shake, like a Yerba Life shake place that you can go to?
Girl, I'm not actually advocating for Herbalife. it's pretty much bullshit, but my friend Jen and I, shout out to Jen, who is part of the Gordita Supreme podcast a long time ago with Christy Lee. We used to go with my tia Tere, shout out to my tia Tere, to Zumba. And it was just a scheme to get us to buy Herbalife. So in order for you to join the Zumba class, you had to buy un té y un shake. and you got a deal. It was $5 for both of, or $7 for both of them. $5 for one or $7 for both. So duh, we're gonna get both of them. So before the class, te empinabas el shake, and then you would sip on the tea.
Te empinabas el shake.
Yeah, because I was like, wait, you don't, no te empinas el tea. But I would always get cookies, and then my friend Jen would always get piña. And then finally, I was like, let's mix them together, and it was delicious. But it's like a combo, you know? It's like Zumba, Herbalife. It's all one package.
It's all one thing.
Jugononi, uña de gato.
Oh my God, I love the jugononi, but that shit is expensive.
I know.
Mi mamá siempre me regaló. Okay, anyway, jugononi. I haven't fucking thought about jugononi in ages. Okay, I put intensos. Caca.
What?
Because we're intensos, man. We're like this fucking mega dramatic, intense. Oof. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything. That was the first thing that popped in my head.
I think that's a stereotype that we need to work past. That's not all of us, okay?
I mean, maybe I'm very intenso, so.
Mine is I for iguana.
Ah, pues sí. Sí, cómo no.
La Iguana. Iguana is also a place in Guatemala.
And it's also a really good song by Lila Downs. Shout out to Letero Típica. Yes.
Full circle. Making it about Mexicans once again, Babelito.
Ah, yeah.
Thank
that's
you.
What I was thinking. I'm like, this is not a list of Latinidad. It's all about fucking Mexicanos. I can't help it.
I'm trying. I know you're pero trying. No me dejas.
Okay. J por pues Juan Gabriel. ¿Quién más?
Well, the biggest Jota of them
exactly.
all.
Exactly. Hallelujah, man.
And he's back. I heard he was going to have his final farewell tour.
¿Qué guy? Wait.
You haven't seen the articles?
No, bitch.
Juan Gabriel's manager claims that Juanga is alive and well and is gonna make an appearance soon.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say a hologram. I was like, I am fucking buying the whole tour. I'm going to be a roadie for
no,
that
bitch,
hologram.
No, bitch. He's back from the dead.
No andaba muerto, andaba de parranda. Out!
¡Ay!
¿Y tú?
Jalapeño, bitch.
A huevo, pues, ¿qué más? Shit. Okay.
Yes, and I love it because the origins of jalapeño are actually in Asia, and the chiles moved through trade to central, and by trade, I mean actual trade, not like gay guys, you know, okay? So through the Manila Galeon
right.
to South America and Central America and Mexico. So
damn.
Shout out to the Asians for jalapenos because they're ours now. Thanks.
And shout out to the Philippines who like hold all those shipments for like fucking years for us.
Yes.
La K de Kermes.
Kermes. What's a Kermes,
A
bitch?
Kermes, it's a block party. So, I don't know. When I think of Kermes, I think of enchiladas because they're just greasy as fuck. El chile siempre está quemado, pero saben, mira, fuck, a un abismo de pasión. En Kermes tienes jueguitos, you have lotería, like all the Mexican shit. Once again, super mega Mexican. ¿Y tú?
K is for karaoke. Because we love our
fucking
karaoke. We do fucking
love karaoke. Especially if we're, like, we have mm-hmm. to be super drunk. Yeah.
Speaking of Filipinos, karaoke, for sure.
I almost put karaoke, but I was like, no, kermes. Okay.
L.
Limón.
Yup. Yup.
¿Lo mismo?
No, not me. I put limpia, which is... which is part of a is can be part of a limpia limón.
So what is it with the fucking egg that they rub it all over you y luego lo revientan y sale verde? Like is
yeah. So when they do a limpia, which is like a spiritual cleansing, they rub an egg on you, and what's supposed to be happening is the negative energy is leaving your body and into the egg. So then that's why they rub it all over your body, and then they crack it open, and you see there's stories of people getting an egg rubbed on them and they cracking the egg open and it's like a black yolk inside.
I've seen it dark green.
Oof. You've seen it in person?
Yes. I've seen limpias where they... And it's not like, oh, I have this egg. Let me crack it. No, it's like, que me das un huevo de tu refrigerador, and then they crack it and it's like this dark green. It's so fucking weird.
Yeah. And I guess depending on the... on the person, on the santero, santera, santerequis, or the person doing the limpia, depending on the faith, there's different elements. Of course, the hierbas, the incense, sometimes they even have alcohol, you know, like it depends on the country or where the person practices.
Okay, so M4 murals, the monuments of our people in this country.
M for machete, because we are a violent, violent people.
Wow.
I feel like that's a very Central American thing, too. Like, all my Guatemalan family, they have, like, a machete in their house.
Because it's the environment, no? Porque, like, you live in ese tipo de vegetación, no? You gotta have a machete.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a way to get through the brush. It's a way to protect your family, and it's also a nice decoration above the fireplace. So
you know what? We were reading these essays from the 17th century in my class, and everybody from the 17th, 18th, and 19th century said, in Europe, especially the Spanish, of course, they always talked about how indigenous people were not smart people because of the weather. Because of what? The humidity. So they always say the tropics are a place where you cannot develop, ¿cómo se llama? Mentally. So every time you see the wild, savage frontier depicted, it's always así, güey, así con un chingo de hierbas, así tipo Frida Kahlo. Because for them, according to the Spanish, and this is not just one book. These are like dozens and dozens of books and essays and things that were published in Europe that people were reading that said that the tropics, especially humid places, people could not develop their brains because it's just too humid. The weather is too fucking crazy. I was just learning that. So
Excuse me?
It's insane. Yeah.
That logic doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense at all, but like the Spanish always find justifications, especially in the Enlightenment when they wanted to study everything in a scientific way. That's how they justify the inferiority of natives in the Americas.
To me, it's the opposite. It's like these people live in an area where they actually don't even have to wear clothes. So now they have the capacity to think more because they don't have to think about what outfit they're going to wear every day. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
Like, what are they talking about?
Les cuelgan libres. Like, that's a beautiful thing.
Oh my gosh. Hallelujah. Okay. N.
I just put, I don't have anything for men. I couldn't find anything.
Think of something right now, bitch.
Neruda.
What does that mean?
Pablo Neruda. He's a very important poet from Chile. So, and he was part of the resistance of the dictatorship. So I'm actually very proud of this choice because it's actually not Mexican. So Neruda is
See?
My aunt.
Very good. Mine is for Nacimiento.
Hey, aleluya. Amen.
Because, you know, these people, Latinos
these
can
people.
Throw down. These people. What do you mean, these people? No, you know, I thought the Nacimiento thing was just like my Mexican side of the family. Mm-hmm. But then I went to Colombia a couple years, or 3 years ago exactly, actually. And their nacimientos there were incredible. Like, all these people in their houses and outside just doing all these big nativity scenes. You know, they show out for Christmas.
I know my family in Juarez, too. They set up in the garage. It's just like a big-ass fucking nacimiento. Pero no como tu abuela, güey, con los dinosaurios and all.
My grandma's the queen.
She is the queen.
It's prehistoric, okay? There's dinosaurs in the nacimiento. There's cars. There was a hot tub time machine. There's everything in her nacimiento. Everything for baby Jesus.
Amen. Ñe for ñañaras.
What the fuck?
Ñañaras es cuando te da así como cosa algo. Like, you see something, you're like, ugh. Like, como que te da miedo. Like, you're scared. Te da ñañaras. Or, like, when you see algo que te da un poco de asco, you're like, ugh. I don't know. It's ñañaras. It's just a word.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. My Ñe is for noodle.
What is that?
like a noodle, you know?
Ah, noodle.
You actually spell it with an Ñe.
Do you know that the only road sign with an Ñe in the United States is in New Mexico? It's for Montaño.
I heard about that. That's amazing. Uh-huh. Yeah. Nudo, because every time I go to Mexico, I'm reminded of what a of how much of a man I am not, because I can't make noodles. Like, I can't. Whenever they're getting all the queso ranchero and queso menonita and putting it in boxes to put it in the bottom of the plane, I cannot tie a knot to save my life. But bitch, my grandma, it was like she was in the Boy Scouts, man. She can tie a knot around anything. It's amazing.
Bitch, we don't have survival skills. I have none.
Yeah, you don't. I do. I'm good. I'm in the snow.
La O for horchata, because somehow everybody's obsessed with fucking rice water with cinnamon. It makes no sense. It's gross.
Isn't horchata with an H?
Fuck.
Qué pendeja. And we need a different O, bitch.
Ay, pues tú di primero que ya no sé qué pedo. Horchata.
My O is for Olive Garden.
Ah, that's fucking brilliant.
Our people fucking love Olive Garden. And that's all I got to say. Alfredo sauce, too.
Alfredo sauce, too. I know. Oh, por ofertas, because we love a good oferta. I don't fucking know, bitch. Yep. Yes, okay.
We love a deal. P.
Por piña.
Yes.
Yes, because like piña, it's an American thing, you know. It comes from this continent. There was one chronicle of this guy Francisco de Oviedo who comes to the Americas. No, not Francisco. Anyway, his last name is Oviedo, and he struggles to describe a piña. He's like, is it an artichoke, but it has thistles, but it tastes like this? People didn't know what to do with that. Europeans were fucking fascinated with piñas. So piñas and hammocks are portrayed everywhere in the 16th century. So to me, piña is a symbol of the Americas, you know, not just Latin America, but the Americas.
Yeah, and a lot of people think they're, because they grow them in Hawaii, you know? So a lot of people think that's an Asian thing or a Hawaiian thing. No, it originated in Latin America.
Así es, tío.
P.
I know what you're going to say.
Panda Express.
I thought you were going to say pupusas.
Nah, bitch. Panda Express.
shout out to my book. He fucking loves that shit. I don't understand. I always get sick, man.
What? You're so weak. Listen. Every year for my grandma's birthday, shout out to my abuela Chabela. I was like, grandma, es su cumpleaños, ¿qué quiere comer? Ay, mijo, come una comida china. And I'm like, oh, cool, okay. I know all these spots in Chinatown. I'm going to take you to eat Chinese food. And she's like, ay, pero mijo, algo que me guste a mí. And I'm like, grandma, what? Do you want to go to Panda Express? She's like, sí, me encanta el panda.
My favorite story is when you took her to like this regional Sichuan handmade noodles Chinese place. And she's like, fuck this shit. I want some Panda Express.
We literally went and had hand-pulled Chinese noodles. And she was not having it. We had to go to Panda Express after. She said it had too much onion. I'm like, no, girl, you just want orange chicken. I know you. Okay? I'm trying to keep your diabetes in check, and you're over here eating candy chicken.
Right. Candy chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh.
Q.
Quesillo.
Oh,
esa madre es como fucking crack, man. I can eat a whole bowl
Talk
of quesillo. Quesillo is
Talk
like it's
it.
Almost like mozzarella, but like good, you know. And they just like they it's like string cheese, and you can just sit there and eat it. They put it in a lot of they use it a lot in central Mexico, especially from Oaxaca. That's where the good quesillo is from. Pero sabe a gloria, man. Sabe uff. Anyway,
ooh. My yeah. God, my cue is for Quetzal.
Ah, the national bird of Guatemala.
Have you ever seen a Quetzal in person?
No, but I've seen pictures because we talked. I have a whole lecture on feathers for my class.
Oh my God, those animals look, they look fake. They look like they're made up. They're so beautiful.
Y las feathers are like a meter long, no? They're like super mega long.
Dude, I had no idea how... You know, because when you see a quetzal in a video, they're like solitary creatures, yeah. You know? So you don't ever see them against anything else.
No perspective, yeah.
And so, yeah, there's no perspective to see how big they are. And I went to... I think it was the... the Natural History Museum in Harvard, they have like a big quetzal, like a stuffed bird. And I couldn't believe how long those feathers are. Those birds are big.
Yeah.
They're incredible.
When the Spanish arrived, they were obsessed with them because they're iridescent. So they're like greenish and bluish. And for example, in Maya, in the language, there's not really a word for blue. Like, so they use like a different word to try to convey that greenish bluish of the quetzal.
Yeah. Quetzal is also the name of the currency in Guatemala.
And the national bird.
And then quetzal is also the name of the professor, older dragon on the PBS classic Dragon Tales that actually we should do a full episode on because it's one of the few TV shows for kids back in the day that was about dragons, but also the main characters that were kids in the show were Latinx.
Oh, shit.
And
I've never seen
it. But it wasn't about them being Latinx. It was just like they just happened to be Latinx. And the main dragon's name was Quetzal.
Oh, that's
which is
badass.
Really interesting.
I gotta see that. Okay. R de rebozo.
R de rebozo. What's a rebozo? Like a shawl?
Yes, like a shawl. Very common in, I think, all over Latin America, depending on the type of textiles. There's different, I mean, in Peru, they're not called rebozos, but they're similar garments. And like rebozos are so important because embedded in rebozos, embedded in those type of textiles that people wear, they're just not pretty patterns, you know? Like rebozos are embedded with information, with language, with history, with color. So when you see a rebozo, this is why like sometimes it bothers me when people just wear rebozos like nothing. Like they actually are embedded with so much fucking life and people forget that. So rebozo all the way.
R for me is for rancho.
Híjola, casi pongo esa fucking palabra. Ay, ajua.
Yeah. Every time I go to Mexico, my family's like, vamos al rancho, un día de rancho. You know, like when you go out to the ranch and have a picnic and go to the river. And they love ranchos. This is like, you know, that southwestern cowboy idea. It's like in northern Mexico, it's also really strong. They love
That's where the gringos got it from, the vaquero culture, yeah.
They took it from us, just like our land.
Como siempre. Ese de sentimentalismo. I mean...
Oh, yes, girl.
Yeah, like sentimentality is embedded. You know, like sentimentality is a form of... it's like a cultural thing that was born in the Enlightenment because people try to quantify feelings, you know, try to make sense of them. So it started being embedded in poetry in the 18th century and politics. And Latin America loves that shit. So now you see a fucking soap opera and that melodramatic language they use in soap operas and that we use in our everyday life takes roots in the fucking 17th and 18th century. So we're so embedded on it, we don't know how to get away with it. From José José to María de la del Barrio. Like, it's just so, we're obsessed with that language, you know?
Yes. Ese for me is sala de entrada. That's my S. If you don't know what that means, unfriend me. I don't know you.
Bitch, I'm going to unfriend you. Please explain. I know what a sala de entrada is, but what?
Una sala de entrada. Like, your mom has one.
Oh, that's a sala de entrada?
Yeah, like, there's always the sala that nobody really uses.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, you enter it and you go directly to the kitchen.
Yeah, like, at your mom's house... She has the sala. I never in all the years that I've known you have I seen your mom actually sit down on a couch.
You're absolutely right.
She always it's directly to the dining room right next to it. So that's really the living room. You
so
know
your
what
grandma's
I mean?
Sala de entrada is where she has all those Rococo furniture.
My Mexican family is like, the sala de entrada is no joke. In the pueblo that we're from in Mexico, shout out to Carreras Durango. It's in near Tepehuanes. She has a whole room that's literally just like this Italian furniture, Rococo, and it's covered in plastic. there's a couch, a love seat, two formal chairs, two lamps on end tables, and then an old school record player that I've been wanting since I saw it when I was 7 years old, but my grandma will not let me have it.
Damn.
and that's it. And then, of course, like a picture of La Virgen de Guadalupe, and that's it. In their sala. And then you go into the house and then it's the real living room.
Yeah, where people said, oh my God, sala de entradas which are is real. Usually the,
Yeah, so it's usually, I mean, if you are really well off, you actually have two living rooms. Or you know what? It's not even really well off because it's a thing in other cultures too. It's like, you know, they have like the family room and then the living room.
The formal and then
you know what I mean? Yeah. Or they call it the den, but la sala de entrada is like truly where las señoras show off. They decorate the shit out of it. You know what I mean?
Yes. And las fotografías de las quinceañeras y las bodas go in la sala de entrada.
You don't sit on the furniture. Shout out to my tia Irene. Her sala de entrada is impeccable. And she makes sure she vacuums it so that she can tell if you know how when you vacuum, you leave the triangles? You leave the triangles in the pattern.
Right,
the
carpet, right.
And if you step on it, bitch, she knows. She's like, who came into the living room on my white carpet with shoes on?
Oh, my God. Because
she's the Nancy Drew of Sala de Entradas. Yes.
Nancy Drew.
Yes.
Okay, so let's move on. Tea, telenovela.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing I can say. Like, we all love telenovelas. Yeah. And when you say you don't love telenovela, you're like, oh, I love Casa de las Flores. Same fucking shit. So, all Latinos, telenovelas.
T for me is Toyota. We love our Toyotas. What kind of car does your family have, Babelito? Babelito, what kind of cars do your family have?
They do have Toyotas. They love them.
Duh. Because what? Because they know what's good. I've had my Toyota since 2006. And yes, it doesn't turn on right now. But when I go back to Vegas, me and my brother will work on it for 15 minutes and it'll be running like new. Because those cars are amazing.
Como dice mi papá, le haces un jale chicano and that's it.
Hey, if anybody... un jale chicano. If anybody... my uncle calls it a Mickey Mouse. So if anybody from Toyota here is listening to this podcast, can you please bring back the Toyota Tacoma that was small? I love the old, like the pre-2005 Toyota Tacoma. That they don't make small pickup trucks anymore. They just make these giant cars in America. Right. It's so fucking annoying. Like I want a smaller pickup truck because I don't need a giant one. I just don't understand. I'm gonna have to buy an old car because I don't want the new ones. You know.
Yo te vendo el mío because I'm not using it here.
I need a truck,
oh,
girl.
That's right. You do need a truck.
I got sculptures to move.
Y de pasada Toyota, write us a check and you know we'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, fuck, I don't know their motto or I would say it right now. Oh, well.
Give me your fucking money.
Okay, you.
You, I couldn't find anything. First, I had huapango, but that's con H, because, you know, todos con fucking H. Uh-huh.
Think of something.
I put uvas, because I think of New Year's Eve. It's como pendejos tomando uvas, like 12 uvas at midnight. And plus, it's la sangre de Cristo. Aleluya. Amen.
That's the theme of the show. If we say hallelujah, amen, after it, happily fucking
after
things.
The title, yeah.
Let's see. Mayu is for Univision. Speaking of telenovelas.
Pues sí. That makes sense.
Univision.
Okay, that's enough promotion totally. To them. They don't deserve it.
I know. Okay, V.
Valentina. That's my V.
Hey!
Valentina for the drag queen, but more specifically for la salsa Valentina that tastes good on guini, salchichones, y palomitas de maíz.
Oh, palomitas. Yes. Speaking of weenies. So, what do you, does your family really eat? Be real, girl. Does your family really eat Valentina?
Bitch, my sister, estoy seguro que tiene el estómago lleno de hoyitos. Like, she buys those big ass fucking bottles. They almost come in a, ¿cómo se llama? Garrafón de agua. Like they're just gigantic bottles. It's not like we put it in our food, but a favorite snack of my mother, for example, is palomitas con salsa Valentina. That's a thing. I'm not in love with salsa Valentina, but palomitas, all the way.
Yeah, my Guatemalan side is all about tapatío. That's what we like.
Yeah.
And then my Mexican side is also tapatío and Cholula. We're a Tapatío Cholula family.
Yeah, no, we're Valentina family.
We don't
family.
Fuck with Valentina.
Yes, it's almost...
Tapatío only for eggs. And then Cholula for the rest.
Nice.
That's my rule.
Okay.
Oh my God. Un taco de requesón.
Con tapatío.
Con un poquito de. Oh, bitch.
That sounds amazing. Fuck. You know, pero el requesón, nosotros en Chihuahua nos lo comíamos en tortilla de harina with either honey or sugar.
Yes. Ew.
It tastes like fucking cheesecake. No, it's awesome.
I know. No, no. Savory all the way, girl.
Okay.
Put a little salt. You don't even need Valentina. You can just put a little salt on that shit. Oh, my God. Cuajada. Oof.
Cualquier producto de fucking cheese. Oh, my God.
I'm calling my grandma right now. There better be... I'm a grandma. Can you make a vegan cuajada for me?
La otra.
She's like, yes, mijo, of
Con
course.
Leche de coco.
And I'll make you a vegan caldo de pollo, too.
El pollo no es carne, es chicken, it's different.
It's vegan, I know.
Guajada.
Okay.
W?
Where are we? No, we're on, you said V,
y
right?
Y la V de Valentina, sigue la W.
Oh, mine's V for Verónica Castro.
Okay. La movida sí me gusta.
Vámonos al dancing. Okay.
Okay.
W.
What's up?
Me too. I knew we would match on at least one of these.
That's
bitch.
So fucking funny. I mean, there's the only form
Dude,
of.
Dude, we love our WhatsApp.
Bitch, I have my cousins. They both have iPhones. We can communicate through a text. If I text them, they don't answer me. Pero les mando un WhatsApp y de volada. ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Cómo estás? I don't understand. It's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah. What's up? And it's not just Mexicanos. It's everywhere in Latin America. People love fucking WhatsApp.
That shit, dude, that shit is global. I'm going to go to London in a couple weeks. And that's all they use in the UK
What's
too.
What's up?
And South America, my friends in South America, my friends in Mexico, in Guatemala, all WhatsApp.
But it's also more private. So like I've had conversations that I don't want the government to hear. You go to WhatsApp. It's a little bit more private than your like actual text. Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons why it's so common because I may be wrong and I hope I'm not, but I think like it's a lot more private than like a regular fucking text.
You know what the true test is? Start texting somebody about a brand like that you've seen advertised.
Y luego te sale en tu fucking Instagram.
And then go on Instagram.
That shit is crazy.
And see if they're scanning your WhatsApp, cuz I know for sure that they scan your iMessages.
I know,
but somehow we've let people do that. Like, we've given permission, so it's our fault.
Anyway. Kristen says, privacy is an illusion in this country. Okay, X, Cholo.
Oh, for the dog?
For the dog, also for Cholos, but in Spanish it's written with CH, but the original Nahuatl word, which basically means monster or clown, it's Cholo, X-O-L-O, and that's the roots of the word, you know, like Cholo. So, and it also means company.
For real? Like gangster?
Yeah, like that's where they got the name for the Cholos, but it's originally spelled X-O-L-O.
Wow. Mm-hmm. My X is for xenophobia.
Hey! So I started with anti-blackness and you fucking ended with xenophobia. Love it.
Yeah, it's the same idea. Y'all, Latinos are the worst.
Especially Mexicanos in the border are complaining about the Centroamericanos. Like, fuck you all.
It's awful.
It's horrible.
You know what? You know, I have a suggestion. Speaking of xenophobia, if you're looking for an alternative show on Netflix that is about facts and is funny, you know, and you want to learn something... there's that new show called Patriot Act by, I think you say his name, Hasan Minhaj, and he is incredible. That is an example of somebody that's funny and non-problematic and ethical, and his jokes are funny. And so if you want to learn from a little bit of history or a little behind the scenes and certain topics, I recommend the Patriot Act. That is... Actually, I should have saved that for my recommendation, but I'm just thinking of xenophobia because when Latinos see somebody that looks Arab or Indian or you know what I mean, like it automatically they start talking shit. And I'm like, yo, how can you? I mean, It's not a real question. How can you be brown and be racist? Well,
duh.
Let me just, duh. You know what I mean?
Yes, totally.
Okay. My gosh. People are the worst.
Okay. Those last two letters are super hard, so all I could think of were states of Mexico. So I thought of Yucatan. Yeah. Yucatan, because like I've never been there, but I also know that Yucatan is like Texas. Like, they're Yucatecos. They're almost like independent. It's its own country. The cuisine is completely fucking different from the rest of the country. And yeah, that's all I could think about.
Girl, you couldn't think of my word, yuca. It's in Yucatan. Pendeca. Yuca's cross-cultural,
that's
too.
True.
A lot of different Latin American countries eat yuca. Shout out to yuca frita.
There is a guy here. I mean, is yuca como sweet potato?
No.
Oh, never mind. Because there's a guy here in Pilsen, y trae un pito, like, y you know he's outside, y le das $2, y te da un sweet potato with lechera. Bitch, it's so fucking wonderful. Anyway, Zeta for Zacatecas. For two reasons, because it's I think that's the place where my people came from. I'm very sure of it. I need to do research. But also because it also means get the fuck out of here. Like, Zacatecas de mi cuarto. That's it.
My Z is for Zócalo.
Ah, the most important plaza in the fucking country.
There you go.
And those two last ones were a struggle. But I mean,
that was really
that
fun.
That is fucking fun. We should do it again with something else.
Yeah, totally. And you know what? I'm going to save it for... We're going to do recommendations just like really quick, because this is already a really long episode. But we're going to take a little break and then we'll come back with recommendations. So take it away, Babalito. Oh my gosh, all this talk about food, girl, it's got me hungry. You know what I want?
Let me guess. Lindo Michoacán, yes. The original one in Desert Inn.
That's right. The original Lindo Michoacán in Las Vegas on East Desert Inn is so amazing that they are giving Latinos Who Lunch listeners 25% off of their bill. So if you ever find yourself in East Las Vegas and you want some good food, go down to Lindo Michoacán.
And you know, people may think, you know, porque son patrocinadores, dicen que está rica la comida. But no, no. We get fucking people that go to Vegas, they listen to Latinos Who Lunch, they go to the restaurant, they get the badass fideo and everything else we love about that restaurant, and they get their discount. So Google it, loca, because you're going to find those testimonies somewhere in the internet.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Thanks to everybody on Twitter and Instagram that tags us when they're at Lindo Michoacán. It is so awesome. And a public service announcement. As a reminder, Lindo Michoacán has some of the hardest fucking workers there. The servers, the bus people, the hostesses, the tortilla lady, the cooks. That restaurant is always jam-packed because it is that good. But remember, when they give you 25% off, please be courteous and pretend that 25% off is still on your bill and tip accordingly, mi gente, because I know some of you motherfuckers are cheap, and I'm talking specifically to you, Dad. Okay, so... I'm just kidding. I don't have a dad. Okay. Anyway, I love Lindo Michoacán.
Lindo Michoacán. Save water.
Save water.
Drink margaritas.
And we're back. Babelito, do you have any recommendations?
Really quick,
I went
to go see Queer Chicano Chisme. He is the co-host of Bitter Brown Femmes in an amazing podcast. You should all listen to him. But while he was giving his talk here at UIC, there were two girls in the audience who were getting advice from him, like how to promote their podcast. Their podcast is called Radio Lucifer. L-U-Z, like L-U-Z-I-F-E-R. And these are scary stories. They call themselves, because both of them, there's two hosts, and both of them, their names are Luz. And these are scary stories of the night, Latinos, Latinx scary stories. And ooh. I love that, because there's so many Latinx podcasts that are coming out, and I love to hear new and fresh perspectives and voices. I went through their SoundCloud, which I'm going to put the link to it, and it's fucking amazing. Again, it's called Radio Lucifer. Check out our website so you can click on the link and go listen to them. These are two girls from Chicago doing their damn thing, and I fucking love it.
Do they talk about La Mano Peluda?
La Mano Pachona.
My recommendation is also a podcast, and it's called Nopal Queens. Have you heard of them?
Yes, no, but I love that fucking name.
Yes, no. It's Nopal, like Nopal, and then Queens, K-W-E-E-N-Z, I believe. And it's actually a Latinx therapy podcast. The three hosts are amazing. They're based out of Sacramento, and they're three therapists. Or I think one of them isn't a therapist anymore, but they used to be licensed as a therapist. Uh-huh. And they talk about mental health on their show, and they're super smart and funny. And I actually got to meet when I was... oh my gosh, I forgot about this. So when I was in Reno, I was coming from the Bay Area, and my Greyhound bus got stuck in Sacramento. So I actually met one of the hosts, and then they came up, they came up and helped me with my installation. Anyway, they're amazing women. Please listen to their podcast. It's called Nopal Queens. I think they do one a month right now. And so far, I think they have three episodes out.
And shout out to everybody, because I in the last couple of episodes since I moved here, I've been talking about mental health and going to therapy. And people have been very fucking nice. They're like, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I get messages like every fucking week. So thank you, everybody, for support. Thank you for people that recognize that, like, I was wrong about mental health, and we are, I changed my mind, and I see it, people see it happening, and people appreciate that, and they listen, and I fucking love that. So I love your recommendation, Fabi.
Yes. And I want to do a quick shout out. I know I talk about them all the time, but happy belated birthday to Robert from Grizzly Kiki. And I want to challenge them, the ABC challenge. I want them to do an episode that's like the ABCs of drag.
Oh my God, yes. I think that would be, I want to hear that.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they did a full episode, the ABCs of drag, just them two? So, Robert, Daniel, I can't wait to hear the episode.
Yes! Awesome. Oh my God, this is so much fucking fun.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks, Pavelito. This was a blast.
Muchísimas gracias. And I'll see you next week, face to face.
Oh my God, that's going to be weird.
It's going to be strange. But I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready.
I don't know.
It's going to be fun.
I don't know about that. Yeah, we're really excited, everybody. Latinos Who Lunch. We have a lot of really cool episodes coming up. Also, thank you for everybody on the feedback for Art People Podcast. The official Art People Podcast is now on iTunes and Stitcher and wherever you listen to podcasts. Eventually, it'll be on everything like Spotify and all that shit. But it just takes time. But you can subscribe at Art People Pod wherever you listen to podcasts. And Babelito, thank you. You were a really amazing first guest. We covered so many topics. It was so cool.
It was a lot, yes.
I feel like a lot of people were like, especially the academics that listen to us, we're so happy to like hear you get into detail about like what you do.
That's awesome, because I don't know, sometimes I feel like, I don't know, it's hard to talk about this shit because it can seem very boring, but like everything has an effect on what we do today. So it was nice that you gave me that opportunity, and I can't wait to hear the fucking future interviews. Like, that's gonna be exciting. I have a couple of suggestions here from Chicago, but we can talk about it later.
Okay. And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Please, if you have a moment, leave us a review. 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are.
And visibility leads to representation, and representation matters, people.
Okay, today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. Our music is by the band Brownout.
Bye.